For decades, Elizabeth Elliot has influenced many people through her books, timeless teaching, and courageous faith. She shares with us what she's learned as a daughter, wife, mother, and missionary on this radio program, Gateway to Joy. Let's join Elizabeth now as she encourages us once again to live life to its fullest as disciples of Jesus Christ.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot talking with you again today about giving thanks for everything. This is a spiritual principle. It is essential for you and me to learn to give thanks deliberately and positively as an act of our will. Here's one of those cases where we really have to will against ourselves, don't we? Because it doesn't come easily for any of us to thank God for a traffic jam or any other kind of trouble. But I know from experience, I know from the scriptures, I know from the testimonies of thousands of others that it does work and it does change your whole outlook on life. Can you give thanks for stress? The psalmist said, "Thy wonderful purposes are all for our good." If we find ourselves in a situation which seems stressful, the Lord himself wants to give us rest. He says, "Come to me, you who are tired and overburdened." Maybe a modern translation might say, "Come to me, you who are stressed out." George Whitefield wrote, "Let stress knock you to your knees and grow there." That's a good one, isn't it? Let stress knock you to your knees and grow there. Maybe you're facing a trauma, a temptation, or a test of some kind. Some may be experiencing right now having been robbed of something, as Nay Bailey was. Maybe your house has been robbed. Maybe you've had a fire. Maybe your husband has been robbed by somebody else. Maybe somebody else has gone off with your wife. These are huge things in human life, aren't they? Major traumas, we would call them. And yet, when we're knocked to our knees, we can grow there. We need to go to God himself. It's said that Psalm 119, verse 71, describes David's feelings when he was chased by Saul. Now, there may be some who will take issue with that, but this is what one interpreter said. And David's words were, "It was good for me to be afflicted so that I might learn your decrees." Job was afflicted, and only Job learned to know God. His friends came up with all the pat answers. They were the orthodox. They were the theologians. And they came along and they said, "Well, Job, you know, you wouldn't be suffering like this if you weren't a bad man." But Job knew that it was God that he had to deal with. As he sat there on his ash heap, having lost everything, his servants, his flocks, his herds, his house, his children, and the confidence of his wife, he knew that it was God that was dealing with him in this way. And we know from the introduction to the book, which we don't know that Job knew anything about, there had been a strange encounter in heaven between God and Satan. And Satan had challenged God about the meaning of faith. And it was God who brought that man Job to Satan's attention and gave him permission to afflict him. The mystery of suffering. If you're depressed, what sort of help do you look for first? And how can I, who don't happen to be depressed at the moment, how can I help somebody else? Can I help them to identify the problem and then to do something about it? That's the most important thing. By all means, don't baby somebody who is feeling depressed. We need to strengthen their hands in God. Romans 8:28 is the ultimate goal in our helping them to see that everything that happens fits into a pattern for good. I read that there had been a 200% rise in male depression since 1960 because of the flower child era. What happened during the flower child era? All standards were swept away. There were no anchors. There were no channel markers. People were lost. The El Dorado syndrome is the name that somebody has given to when a man reaches his one goal. If a man all his life has been working for the big house or the prestigious job, he gets the house or he gets the job or maybe both, then it's very common for such a man to go into depression. And I heard a Christian counselor give these six remedies for depression. Number one, don't allow self-defeat. We can only do that by prayer, by Bible study, and by fellowship with other Christians. And as a friend of mine said yesterday, just because you get together with a bunch of Christians, that's not fellowship. If all you talk about is the baseball scores or the weather or what's happening in Washington, D.C., that's not Christian fellowship. Fellowship is pointing each other to Christ, sharing together the things that the Lord has done, the ways in which He has blessed us, the ways in which He is showing us tiny glimpses of the pattern for good. So don't allow self-defeat. That's the first one. Secondly, don't blame others. What a temptation it is always to put our troubles at somebody else's responsibility. In James 5, verse 9, he says, "Don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door." Don't blame others. It's very popular nowadays to blame our past, our abusive parents, that awful teacher, that person who did us in, that spouse who left. All our troubles are laid at the feet of somebody else. My Bible says, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Number three, focus on Jesus. Put your eyes on the morning star. Lift up your eyes, lift up your sights. Concentrate on Him. If you just read the Gospels and see how did Jesus cope with the stressful situations in His life, what did He do? Ask Him to help you to do the same thing. It's amazing how when you look around, you're going to be depressed. You look inside, you're going to be discouraged. You look down and you see nothing but dirt. Look up and you see Jesus, and He is our light. Number four, don't try to change what is God's responsibility. That's a good way to get depressed, by trying to change what is God's responsibility, and we can't do it. It's going to result in failure every time. Don't try to change what is God's responsibility. Leave the impossible with God, in other words. Just remember that there are not very many things in life that are my business. Not many things in life that are your business. God limits the things that He wants us to attend to. But some of us are prone to go rushing around tending to other people's business. That's one of my failings, I tell you. I have to be stopped in my tracks every once in a while. And remember, it's none of my business. Number five, use stress to know God. That fits in with what George Whitefield said, doesn't it? Let stress knock you to your knees and grow there. Get down on your knees and look at the whole situation in the presence of God. And number six, remember that we're all travelers, not settlers. Do His good pleasure, continuous corrective living. I like that. We're all travelers, not settlers. We're pilgrims and strangers. We have here no continuing city, the Bible says, but we seek one to come. So we live in the light of another world altogether. So quickly again, those six remedies for depression. Don't allow self-defeat. And the remedy is prayer, Bible reading, and fellowship. Don't blame others, James 5:9. Focus on Jesus. Number 4, don't try to change what is God's responsibility. Number 5, use your stress to know God. In that dark valley, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Let's never deny the existence of evil, but I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And remember, we're all travelers, not settlers. Thy wonderful purposes are all for our good. That would be a good verse for you to memorize. Maybe it's a good verse for you and your children to memorize today. Psalm 40, verse 5. Thy wonderful purposes are all for our good. And you can connect that with Romans 8:28. Everything that happens fits into a pattern for good to them that love God.
Growing up, Elizabeth Elliot understood that studying the Bible is a vital priority for the Christian life. And ladies, we can also establish a solid foundation for our lives through daily Bible reading and prayer. Join us next time as we think about the eternal truth of God's Word here on Gateway to Joy. Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your Gateway to Joy. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.